Our scripture reading for this morning is Deuteronomy 18. Listen for the word of God to you. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die." Then the Lord replied to me, "They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable." May God bless this reading to your hearts today.
Thank you, Alexis. Join me in prayer. God, may the words that I speak, may the thoughts of my heart, may the attitude of my spirit be acceptable in your sight and meaningful to your people. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is a meme that is floating around out there, which become one of my favorites, which who would have thought that I would have used the word meme or even had a favorite meme? I certainly wouldn't have thought about that a number of years ago. But a meme, and for those of you who don't know, it's a meme. It's just a picture with a saying. It's typically intended to be funny, but sometimes they're poignant. So this meme just has somebody waking up, and they might be waking up in distress or waking up a bit disheveled. And the text simply says, "I'd like to wake up on a day that's less historic." I get that. It feels like every single day we wake up and it's an historic day, or it's an unprecedented season, or it's a moment like we've never experienced. Are you tired of that? I feel tired of that. But it's part of being in a season of change, and we are absolutely in one of those seasons. And so together we continue our meditation on navigating change. And we'll do that with an awareness that when we are in a season of change, one of the biggest challenges that we have is knowing which way to go. 2 weeks ago, Jonah reminded us that God is always in our seasons of change. And the purpose of that change is that others can get a better view of God. Sometimes even with our best efforts, we're like the person with too big of a hat that sat down in front of us at the movie theater. We're asking them to change because we can't exactly see the film. You know, sometimes we get too big and we need to change a little bit so that people can see God, the one who we are looking at. So we remember that from Jonah. But then last week, we talked a little bit about Sabbath, and we were reminded to not forget to incorporate seasons of rest that allow us to recreate, to revision, to reorient. That's what times of Sabbath are all about, so that we know that we can hear the voice of God clearest in the midst of change. Today, we're going to explore a particular role in change. So those are all things that we all do. We all want to take time to rest. We all recognize that God is in seasons of change and what the change is all about. But there is a particular role of God's people that God brings in to help us with change. And it's the role of the prophet. See, the prophet is that audible voice of God in our lives, because sometimes we need an audible voice. I know that I need an audible voice. Central to our faith is the idea of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in our spirit to be our guide, our teacher, our comfort, the one who challenges us toward doing good, checks us when we're not. We have that Spirit. But sometimes it's hard to get a bead on that, especially when life has caused me to drift away, or even worse, to become comfortable with my own bondage. See, Moses was that for God's people. In fact, Moses was the first one of that for God's people. God's people were in bondage 400 years of slavery. And after a course of time, they became institutionalized in that slavery. All right, so I have to confess, I learned the word institutionalized from The Shawshank Redemption, which is one of my favorite films of all time. In that scene, one of the characters who's been in prison for most of his adult life gets paroled, finds out that he can't exactly make it on the outside. When word comes back to the prison that he didn't survive, Red, one of the central characters, turns to everyone else and says, well, it's because he's been institutionalized. That means he's gotten used to the system. He's gotten used to bondage. He's gotten used to when you wake up and when you move, and gotten used to a small world. He doesn't know how to navigate any other way. Now, institutions are good. Institutions are those things that keep our community going. The church exists in many places as an institution, an organized system of moving forward as a group of people. We mentioned we had our annual meeting last week, and it was great. It needed to happen. It was wildly successful. But did you know that annual meetings are not in the Bible? They're not. They're in our Constitution. In fact, motions, first and second motions, they're not found there. Votes aren't found there. Those are found in Robert's Rule of Order. It's a political book meant to guide government procedure. Same could be said for liturgy, our orders of worship, the ways we do sacraments. My goodness, even the word sacraments all have to do with our institution. And let me say, that's not bad unless we become institutionalized. When that happens, we start to focus solely on the preservation of what is familiar, the institution. Even if it stops serving human life, or if God gets lost somewhere behind the stuff that we've built. But see, that's where the prophet comes in. Moses was, as I said, the first for God's people, the one who stepped into their bondage, proved he spoke with God's voice, and led God's people into the wild expanse of their freedom. Recognizing that none of them had ever been beyond the borders of Egypt. They were following God's voice into a place that was unknown, God's prophet. And then once they get to the end of Moses' life, you know, the people who have experienced God's real presence and heard God's voice from the mountain said, we don't want to do that anymore. That's too scary. God says, I get it. I get that's a little scary. So I'm going to continue doing what I did through you, Moses. I'm going to raise up other people to act as prophets. And they will be my audible voice to God's people, to speak to God's people when sometimes they become institutionalized, when they start going the wrong way. You know, sometimes we think just about prophets. Those are just Bible people. And I don't think they are just Bible people. I think God uses prophets throughout the life of God's people to shake our institution just a little bit so we can make sure we're serving God's church in the best way possible. It's easy for us to keep going the way that we know, the way that we're familiar with, but that's how we end up getting stuck. Have you ever used the app Waze on your phone? I wrote about this in the newsletter. The app Waze, I remember the first time that I really used the app Waze, I was heading down to Asbury Park. I know the way to Asbury Park, but I thought I would just try this Waze app to see what it was going to do, what it was all about. I remember going all the way that I knew, and of course, me and the Waze voice was agreeing with every turn, until I got a little bit onto the parkway, in which case the voice came on and said, exit left into the travel plaza. Exit left into the travel plaza. I'm like, I don't even know what we're talking. Why is she telling me to exit left? I considered ignoring it, going the way that I knew. But I thought, hey, why not? Maybe I can stop and get a cup of coffee, or I love a travel plaza. So why not? So I pull off into the travel plaza, and then the voice says, get on to Garden State Parkway going south, which if you know the Garden State Parkway, it's a little bit of road that runs between the travel plaza and the parkway itself. That's that little road. And I thought, okay, well, sure, let's do that, because now I'm up for the adventure. And then as I looked to my right onto the parkway, I saw there was an accident. Traffic was starting to back up, and that little app knew that. I didn't. That little app knew that. Took me right back onto the Garden State Parkway on the other side of the accident, and I continued my way down to Asbury Park. See, that little app on that day acted as a prophet in my life, maybe not in the biblical or spiritual term, but that little app saw what I didn't see and spoke into my life. And I had a choice. I had a choice either to listen to what the prophet was saying or to ignore it, which would have caused me to get stuck. But of course, the big question when it comes to prophets is, how do you know who speaks for God? They anticipated that question in the passage. We didn't read that, but right afterwards, it said that there are going to be false prophets that arrive and people that will try and distract and dissuade God's people from the path. There certainly are those now, those false prophets that exist in our culture. Right now, the biggest one in the United States, maybe you've heard of QAnon, that voice has been acting as a prophet, delivering lies to people. Many of God's people have received those lies. That prophet has made predictions that have come to nothing. They keep telling them to trust them and to stay in line, and they keep people in line with fear. And the result, so many parts of our country are fractured, and quite frankly, people have lost their lives. Well, that prophet's not from God. Moses says later in the passage, you'll know that this prophet comes from God if what they say is true. What they say comes true. Now, that is circular reasoning in my mind to some degree, but I think what that means is that you know the truth of a prophet's voice if everything that they say lines up with what you already know about God. Yes, with their predictions come true, but we have this incredible witness of the scriptures, thousands of years of knowing the character of God and what God is calling us to do and to be. And there is always that truth that we can weigh the voice of the prophet with what we know is true about God. We have the great benefit of being in a long line of God's truth. That's why we share the scriptures with you every single Sunday. So that as you are hearing voices, that you know which voice is God. We know that the voice of God will always lead us to love and never to destruction. In our call to worship, Alexis and CJ gave us names of some people that God has used to be God's voice in our nation, in our nation's history, to turn the church back to God. One stands out in particular to me, Harriet Tubman. I just recently watched the Harriet movie, which I highly recommend to people. It's something that I didn't know, that Harriet Tubman heard from God. After I watched that movie, Harriet, and I kept hearing her or watching her on the screen, hearing from God and how God was directing her steps, I had to look it up. Like, is this some Hollywood stuff? Like, what is this? No, it is absolutely true. It is absolutely true that Harriet Tubman heard from God and God ordered her steps. She became a voice, a prophetic voice in the church, moving the church out of its comfort, which in that time, the church was practicing slavery. A good portion of the church in the South was practicing and justifying slavery. And then there were good portions of the church, even in places where slavery wasn't practiced, where the church was just indifferent to the practice of slavery. Voices like Mrs. Tubman's put it out there that no, this is a wrong and God is calling us to change. That prophet moved us to the point that the church in the United States, we couldn't conceive of slavery. And it's not been 200 years yet. I believe that there continues to be prophets. Potentially prophets among us now. Some live behind pulpits while others are out on the street calling us to not be satisfied with institutions such as racism, xenophobia, or gender equality. And I think that we have a responsibility as the people of God, as they are shaking our institutions, to tune in to the voice of God, to weigh those voices and ask ourselves, are we hearing the voice of God? We don't just write them off and we don't just accept them wholesale, but we listen. They don't destroy our institutions. The prophets among us preserve it by keeping us relevant and keeping the fire flowing within us. You know what will destroy us? Decay that comes from immobility. Think about your body when you stop moving it. It stops being useful. If you stay static for too long, you find you lose your ability to move altogether. Imagine the prophet's voice is that voice that speaks in and says, get up and move, get up and exercise, move this muscle. This is the way to go. It's that coach or that personal trainer, which CJ is a personal trainer. And I've watched CJ say, come on, you've got one more in you. Do this, move this way. That's what the prophet does in our life. So, in our series of navigating change, our third mark of navigating change is the welcome and weighing of the prophet's voice. And I just pray that we are willing to listen. Amen.